Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, the CONCACAF Champions League semifinal first leg review show, talking about the clubs that are in Major League Soccer as well as those in Liga MX, as we have one American side facing a Liga MX side, and of course, again, a Canadian side facing the other Liga MX side, and it should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. I think so far we've had an entertaining first leg in the semifinals. I think we've had a very entertaining first leg in the semifinals. One side, though, even though allowing an away goal, they were able to get back into the swing of things and take over the entire match. And then, of course, the other game, where I don't think it was the best game, but we saw that team under siege. And even though they tried to do their best, at the end of it all, they put one into their own net. And then, of course, the quality came out from the home side. And now they got to go across the country in about a little bit less than a month to get ready for a huge second leg. One will be in Canada on the West Coast in British Columbia, and the other side will be down in Mexico. It should be a very entertaining games. It should be a very entertaining two semifinal second legs, as we are going to get ready for a huge, huge moment with these Champions League matches, because I'm telling you right now, folks, we're going to see some magic here. And once again, there will be a North American representative, regardless of what happens, as we get ready for these Champions League games. And at the same time, we will find out what's going to happen once everything gets underway here. I mean, when you're seeing something special happening down in Texas, Dallas, Frisco area, what FC Dallas has been able to do, not just to get the right type of player to come and play for them, but the truth is this, is that what we are seeing from Oscar Pereja has been absolutely magical. It has been magical. You never, ever thought you would see this coming out of an MLS team so quickly. And I think it goes to show you, when you have the right man running the club, and nothing against Shelles Hyndeman, you know, I mean, he did some good things for them too, but I think honestly, in all honesty, it has to be said that Oscar Pereja has the magic touch. He knows who is in his academy. He knows what type of player he has to bring over, not just because they've got talented young players, but of course the quality that they have and the quality free agents they bring over to have them play in front of that crowd has just been unbelievable, and you have to give him credit for that. And we don't know what's going to happen when we get closer and closer to the second legs of the semifinals. But obviously, what we are seeing so far, in my opinion, is just unbelievable stuff. And everyone is hoping for, obviously, a big, big matchup between FC Dallas and possibly Tigres. Now, once again, this team in FC Dallas, there is a lot of things that have to break right for them, to be honest. And when that happens, maybe we'll see the fruits of their labors. We have already seen FC Dallas winning the U.S. Open Cup last year and, of course, winning the Supporters' Shield as well. They got their double. More is possible for them if they win this trophy. The truth is this, and I'll be honest, it was going to be the Red Bulls and Tigres in the semifinals. I've already said to many people, you know, that's going to be a tough one for the Red Bulls because Tigres, you know, is such a powerhouse. Such a powerhouse of a club in Liga MX that I didn't think they had a shot. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't think they're going to win, or you hope they would win or advance into the semifinals and maybe into the finals if possible. But the truth is you have to be honest with yourself and you have to say that, you know, this is a challenge that you have to be prepared for. This is a challenge you have to be prepared for. And at the same time, this is one of those types of matchups you cannot depend on your keeper so much because you need to put something into the back of their net. And while Vancouver, I thought they were just treading water after the first half, there were some decent moments in the second half. But if we're honest, I didn't see them getting out of Mexico without giving up at least more than just one or two goals. Now, whether that's enough to save them when they're home, the truth is this. I think one away goal by Tigres, and it's all over for Vancouver. One away goal by Tigres, and that's it. You need four to get yourself out of that hole. I mean, you got to make sure you don't get yourself buried. Because Tigres, whether it's back in Liga MX or on the road, I can, you know, away from Mexico, I see Tigres just absolutely the buzzsaw that they are. And we'll have John Jagu join us again to talk about this because I truly believe right now. I usually don't assume these things, but the truth of the matter is this. I think out of all the four sides together, I truly believe Tigres is probably the strongest. And they should get out of their semifinal match in the second leg. They should get a result because one away goal and it's over. And I bet you they're going to be playing for that away goal and they're going to be pounding the Whitecaps into submission if they continue on doing that sort of stuff. Now, once again, folks, it's not that, you know, I've given up on MLS. I've not given up on MLS. But you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with what is out there, who is facing whom, and what they're able to do. When Club America took on the Montreal Impact in the Champions League final, and when you saw them get their goals, not only in Mexico, the away goal in Mexico, but the opening goal at the Olympic Stadium, I honestly thought that there's a possible upset in the making. And even when Real Salt Lake took on Monterrey, and don't get me wrong, Monterrey, tough opponent, getting out of Mexico, at least out of Monterrey, with a draw, I said to myself, this is an opportunity that I think we're going to finally see Real Salt Lake being the first MLS side to go to the FIFA Club World Cup. And because of that one goal by Humberto Suazo for Monterrey, that goal killed them off. And you saw them at the same time, Real Salt Lake, put themselves in positions to score, positions for chances, and they just couldn't bury it. When it's that huge game and Spindola right there at the doorstep, ready to power that sucker home, and couldn't do it. That's where you have to give credit to not only Monterrey back then, but to Viktor Vucetic, who out of nowhere found ways to get his side in position to win. To win. It's not just these days, oh, it's our greatest rivals and we have to beat them. We always got to beat them and all that stuff and everything else. No, they are aware of what is going on in MLS. And while their clubs are more fit, and it's nothing to do with, you know, the international schedule, it's about when MLS begins. And maybe we need to have more clubs in MLS, you know, more in the southern states, so that the clubs from the north don't have to worry about the freezing temperatures. And maybe, just maybe, we can get that advantage going. But until that time, and until we get either FC Dallas or Vancouver to advance into the final, if both do advance to the final, that'd be a miracle. But if we have at least one of these two MLS sides advancing into the final against a Liga MX side, then, you know, then we're going to have to wait and see what's going to happen, because this is going to be probably the toughest tests you will ever see. Ever. 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 Going to face in a tournament like that. So, once again, it's a situation that we have to wait and see. And that is a situation that we all need to have and ready for. And so far, this first leg has shown to be very, very competitive and very, very strong. But until we get there, until we get to that plateau for an MLS side to be, you know, that strong and that good, maybe the schedule needs to be fixed. Maybe we do have to dip into the middle of February to begin this season so we can at least get a couple of matches in before we start thinking about March. So that's going to be very interesting, folks. Vancouver right now, behind the eight ball, down 2-0. FC Dallas, surviving an early scare, did allow an away goal. They did allow an away goal. And you just got to say that at this particular point in time, and nothing against the Whitecaps, but to be honest, I feel like FC Dallas is the better side out of the two MLS teams to get into that final. And maybe, just maybe, they're going to be the ones to take on Tigres of Liga MX. So we will see what's going to happen in those second leg matches in the first week of April. Because this time FC Dallas is going to head on down to Mexico, while Vancouver is going to host Tigres. It should be a lot of fun. My guests for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, joining me later on, John Jagu from the SoccerChronicles.com and the Cantina MX podcast. Sadly, no John Secrets on the Vancouver Whitecaps, but that's okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. Normally, Jason Poon was going to be on the show tonight. Something came up, could not join me. But joining me from Big D Soccer is Mr. Ben Lyon, a nice substitute to have on here. Ben, welcome to the show, and hello, rookie.
Well, look, I'll be straight up honest with you. You're in better hands tonight. Not to take anything away from Jason. I'm just, you know, a little more telegenic and, more importantly, radiogenic. How you doing?
I'm doing very good, Ben. I'm doing very good. Let's get into this right away. Actually, you know, I'll be honest. You know, FC Dallas looks like the better of the two MLS sides. I mean, we'll see what happens in the second legs. But still, though, what Perea has done, and, you know, you can't really stop crowing about it. Let's be honest. You have every right to crow. Is that these kids and some of these players that are free agents that came over to play with these kids have been just magical, coming off that double championship last year. And right now you are 90 minutes away from a possible CONCACAF Champions League finals matchup.
That's true. And, you know, there was some speculation going into the game on Wednesday that they'd be at a little bit of a disadvantage because of the referee strike in MX this past weekend. But really, like, odd start to the game. Like, it wasn't a fatigue problem that they had. It was a focus problem early. Really surprising for a group that's been together for a while. Not that many additions from last year, and the first 15 minutes, they looked nervous, disjointed. Like it could have gotten bad for them, but you know they got over those jitters and kind of odd set of nerves, to be quite honest, given the team's experience. They got past that and really controlled the last hour of the game. After that, got the equalizer, beautiful goal from Acosta, and you know, after that, Pachuca reacted a little bit, but I would have to say that the chances were even after that. You know, Pachuca was probably more on the front foot, but yeah, I mean, you have to wonder about that last sub for Guillen, and they had a gilt edge breakaway in stoppage time, and your backup center back slash left back leading the break is not good.
No, it's not.
Especially when you would like that third goal. But I would say that they're happy with the result. And after the home opener with New England this weekend, they don't play again until the return leg at Estadio Hidalgo in Pachuca. So they've got a long time to prepare. They could prepare at altitude.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I think that's the most important thing right there. It's advantage. You need to take advantage of the situations when you're on the road, when you're facing an opponent like Pachuca. And I will agree with you. I was shocked. Franco Jara's goal, not only was he wide open for a shot, but it nailed the inside of the far post, and it boomeranged. I shouldn't say boomerang, but it banked right into the side netting on the inside of the net. I could not believe he was able to squeeze that sucker in. And thankfully, that was the only negative I think FC Dallas had.
Yeah, no, honestly, like, they looked very much like they belong playing against the team of Pachuca's caliber. You know, since the start of the 2014 season, FC Dallas has the most points in the league. You know, they tied with New York for best record in 2015. New York won the Supporters' Shield on goal difference. And then they, you know, won the Supporters' Shield last year. They've built to this point where they've got the beginnings of what would be a modern-day MLS juggernaut. And for them to come out and play like that in the first 15 minutes was really surprising. But, you know, the evidence of their quality from the past 3 years and going into this season is how they reacted to that. You know, they shook off the shock of the surprise goal in the first few minutes and gradually worked their way into the game and were really dominant, after minute 20 on to, somewhere between 70 and 75 minutes in the second half. And there's no reason why they can't go and get the result they need to win in Pachuca. And I'll go on and say that they will be a fearsome opponent for Tigres in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens there. But I will say this. Thank God for Maxi Arruti, because that man knows where to put himself on the field, great position to get to that rebound and power it home past the keeper. That was just an absolutely fantastic bounce after conceding that early goal very, very early in that first half. And that one in the 43rd minute, great play by Arruti, beats Alfonso Blanco to make it 1-1.
Yeah, no. And I mean, that's an Arruti goal. He is probably like one of the five best forwards in the league as far as work rate goes. The guy is a live wire. He hustles. The motor is great. He's not an elite finisher or, an elite speed guy or touch guy. His passing skill is, I would say, underrated, but, he doesn't really provide the kind of playmaking judgment. Like, he'll hold onto the ball too long. But that goal right there, that's a Maxi goal all the way. And I think people would think about him a little bit differently in the league if he hadn't hit the post so much last year. Like, there are so many shots he took last year that bounced off the crossbar or the post. And only five or six shots. He's good. He's good, and he's a leader on that team. He's a heart and soul player, for sure.
For sure. Yep, I agree with you, and he always brings it out. But let me talk about Kellen Acosta for a second here. What a guy that FC Dallas developed. What a guy they found out of him. And, to see him flat out just go out there on a free kick goal. I mean, we're talking about stuff you dream of if you're going to be put in that position to at least get a go-ahead winner, a go-ahead goal or a game-winning goal. I mean, that was just struck so well. To me, I mean, I'll say it right now. National team permanently. Put him on the U.S. national team permanently. The kid deserves it. What a rip. What a chance. That was just pure magic.
Yeah, he's got four goals over his last five games. He is literally the hottest scorer in the national team pool right now. That includes Pulisic, that includes Bobby Wood, includes Jozy Altidore, that includes everybody on the team. And he is a box-to-box midfielder who has admittedly taken on a little bit more of a playmaking bent this year with Mauro Diaz out. So then you got to remember, like, FC Dallas' best offense player is not going to come back until the summer.
I know.
But Kellen Acosta has really stepped up, and it was really surprising to me this week seeing people not project him to the national team or be like kind of surprised when he got picked. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, he's the best central midfielder form-wise in the pool, and it's not even close.
It's not. I mean, look, I try not to predict who deserves, who doesn't deserve to be in the national team. If you're good enough and you're showing your quality enough, then you have every right to be on the national team. Graham Zuzi had his moment. You can definitely say Jozy Altidore has had his moment. Kellen Acosta is having his moment right now. And if he is strongly enough picked to be on the national team for, for as long as possible, then for goodness sakes, give him the opportunity.
Well, and like, the weird thing to me is, like, he has played with the U-17s, the U-20s, the Olympic teams. He's been captains with those teams. He got 4 caps last year. He's played in a World Cup qualifying match as recently as 6 months ago. And, like, the fact that we're even having to, like, debate it is weird. Because he's got all of the quality and all of the intangibles, and yet, like, he really does suffer from the fact that he plays in Dallas a little bit, perception-wise, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, let's be honest. I think there's been times where Dallas, and this is not a knock on Dallas, obviously. If you can see what they've been doing, now whoever gets that opportunity deserves to go. But I think you can admit that there was a time where Jason Christ was it, back when they were the Burn, and they had nobody else. I mean, they had a good couple of players here and there, but nothing like screams for the national team. Now you got players not only screaming for the U.S. national team, I mean, you got other young players that are possibly all playing for Mexico, playing for Argentina, for Costa Rica, you know, and even in Canada as well. So, I mean, you got to remove the stigmatism off of that and give these guys a chance.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I mean, there are a lot of national team players on the Dallas roster. Again, like, they're in the hinterlands of national perception, probably even more so within their own city. And that really isn't, like, a statement on soccer in Dallas. That's more just, like, the fact that Dallas is a front-runner city. You go back to the 60s before the Cowboys were the team of the decade in the 70s. You know, attendance at the Cotton Bowl was not that great. Same thing with the Mavericks. Pre-Dirk, nobody gave a rat's you-know-what about the Mavs.
Yep.
That's a winning front-runner town. It's, frankly, it's a douchebag town. I lived there for 15 years. I will probably live there again, and... It is what it is. It's fun.
So what you're saying is,
you know.
So what you're saying is, you only sing when you're winning.
At the end of this year, when Dallas has won 4 trophies.
Yes.
CCL, Supporters Shield, USOC, MLS Cup. Then and only then will it be a prime draw for the Metroplex. It's getting there.
There you go.
They've had a fair amount of success in the last 2 years, but this year will really solidify them in the community's psyche.
Yep.
Oscar Freo will be Tom Landry. Fernando Clavijo will be Tex Schramm.
There you go.
And Kellen Acosta will be Roger Staubach. Which is great.
Yeah. You know, you got to love it when you can mix and match the NFL and professional soccer with your coach, your general manager, and your quarterback. Why not? Why not? You have every right to feel like that. Real quickly, though, let me ask you this. Even though the team is heading down and acclimating themselves to the altitude of Mexico, what does this club need to do? We know they got to get goals. We know away goals are important now because one only levels the aggregate on away goals. They need more than one. What do you think that they have to do against Pachuca?
Honestly, like, I think whenever they go in and play, they will go in and play with the same 4-4-2 formation that they've been playing with. They'll probably set up their block of four a little bit deeper and hope that Coleman can provide that away goal for them. And Coleman is a good signing this year. You know, you've got most of the core of the team back, and Coleman was the big, quote-unquote, number 9 target forward that the club has been coveting for a while. And he ticks off a lot of boxes. He's a very physical player. He's got some good speed. He makes really good runs. His finishing touch so far has been a little bit off, but you know what? He hasn't played a whole lot, and we're still early in season, which is a huge, huge disadvantage for MLS, and it's ridiculous, by the way, that they compress the quarterfinals and semifinals. I mean, like, they just played the quarterfinals 3 weeks ago, and they're already getting ready to conclude the semifinals, and we're not even close to, like, the beginning of June.
Yeah,
and, I mean, like, that just,
that's more complicated.
That makes me pull out, you know, like, the last wisps of hair that I have all the time. Because it could easily be more judicious the way they do it. But, you know, all that to say, Coleman stands to have a huge opportunity at Pachuca. You know, he got the big transfer fee. He's got talent. He's lacking the finishing and the sharpness that would have helped them up to this point in time. And, you know, hopefully when April 4th rolls around, he's got those finer tuning points that he needs to be the hero. Because it's he's a player with ambition. The club is a club with ambition. That player wants to play in Europe. And if he goes and scores a nice away goal at Estadio Hidalgo or a brace, people are going to come knocking.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. That is for sure. Ben, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Good luck with your MLS match this coming weekend. And, of course, good luck in the second leg down at Pachuca. Take care, sir.
You do the same. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you very much. No problem at all. Ben Lyon, Big D Soccer, SB Nation colleague of mine, as we go ahead and talk about that big moment there, that big moment that saw FC Dallas surviving the deficit and moving on to the second leg with down by one, scoring two late in the first half, and that fantastic free kick goal by Kellen Acosta. This is going to be something special. Talking about now, the Vancouver Whitecaps taking on Tigres down in Mexico, down there at the Estadio Universitario. And, you know, if we're honest with this whole situation, I mean, as much as Usted played very well in this one, we just have to be honest and say it's not enough. And I'm not knocking Usted. Usted is a quality keeper, a quality keeper. But when your side is not attacking enough, not doing enough on the attacking end, of on the field, then you know what? You got a problem there. There's a problem, and it needs to be fixed. You got to get out there. You got to make some attacking runs. You got to try and penetrate that defense. And while there are times that it looked like they were close enough to do it, it just wasn't enough. And then, of course, you have the situation. The situation that you saw when all of a sudden it was an own goal by Kendall Waston, who poked it into his own net, and it became 1-0 Tigres. And that's what good teams do. That's what good teams do, and they try to force you to, you know, put yourself into a mistake situation. Just like the New York Red Bulls, these last two matches in league play, it was an own goal that got them victories down in Atlanta, and of course the victory at the home opener against the Colorado Rapids. You make defenses play you strong, and you make them squirm, and when they squirm, they make those types of mental gaffes, and that's what happened when the defender for Atlanta tried to stop the pass to Bradley Wright Phillips, and he punched it into his own net. And then the cross in that first half, late in that first half at Red Bull Arena, where it was going to Daniel Royer, and the defender for Colorado poked it into his own net. So it's really plain and simple. Plain and simple. You can't ever get behind in a match, or when it's closer to the 90th minute, you allow Eduardo Vargas to make it 2-0 for Tigres, and that would be that. It would be all over, and Tigres leaves the Estadio Universitario with a 2-goal aggregate lead. And it's even worse when you can't even get a road goal. Because now you got to pray. You got to pray now. Tigres does not get an away goal. Because as I've said already, one away goal and it's all over. One away goal. And that is that. It is over. So you have to say, as of right now, you just got to say that for the Whitecaps, this is it. This is it now. There's no looking back. You got to go home. If you're the Whitecaps, you got to go home. And you got to at least get two to tie it up. Two to tie it up. And maybe get three. Maybe get three. To at least avoid extra time. So all you can say is, for the Whitecaps, your CCL season is on the line. It is definitely on the line coming in that first week of April. If you or if they can find a way to get through that, then everything will be gravy. And don't forget, folks, if the Whitecaps can make it 2-2 on aggregate and they do not concede an away goal, okay? If they do not concede an away goal and it ends 2-2 in regulation, you go into extra time and then away goals are wiped out. Away goals are wiped out. Nothing more to worry about. Off you go. It's absolutely unbelievable what would happen here. So you just got to wait and see what will happen. We'll just have to wait and see what the situation will be. And all of a sudden now, things are looking interesting. Things are looking very, very interesting. Because as of right now, we are going to wait and see what will happen to that team that plays in the western end of Canada at BC Place under the inflated dome as the Whitecaps are going to now host Tigres. And if you want to say, you want to mirror it into the World Cup qualifier where Mexico was hosting, or shall I say, Canada was hosting Mexico, you can go ahead and say if you can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead and assume it. Because that's what this is right now. Canada versus Mexico. Not on a national team level, but Canada versus Mexico. International club competition. And we will see what they can do against a team like Tigres, who has plenty of talent and plenty of hard-nosed players. going to be interesting to watch. Very, very interesting to watch. Because once again, folks, this is the situation that's coming. This is the situation that will be coming for the Whitecaps. They are going to face a very, very tough test once again. And once again, there will be no mercy whatsoever. We all know what's going to happen. And that's going to be on Tuesday and Wednesday, April 4th and 5th, respectively. So we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen. We're just going to have to wait and see what the situations will be. And all I can say is this. It's going to be a very, very interesting moment when you will see if the Vancouver Whitecaps, if they can go out there and do some damage if possible. Because as I've said already, it's not that I don't think they can do it. I just believe they have the tougher of the two Liga MX sides that will buzz right through them. And I believe that they have more quality than they do. But you never know. 90 minutes on the line here over in BC Place. Now, let me just say this. I just want to say this to everybody, and I want to be honest with everybody here. If it was the New York Red Bulls that found a way to win in Vancouver and advanced to the semifinals to take on Tigres, okay? If it was the Red Bulls advancing, and I'm being deadly honest here, I would be acting the same way right now as I am against the Vancouver Whitecaps. You gotta be that good. And you gotta be that strong. Dethrone or to defeat an opponent like like Tigres. If it was the Red Bulls advancing to the semifinals, taking on Tigres, they would have a hard, hard time. That's just facts. They would be having a hard, hard time against them. Because I'm telling you right now, what is happening here is that this is probably the best of the best right now. Not because they play in Mexico, but because I have seen their matches, watching them on Liga MX televised matches on the Univision Deportes channel. I've seen their highlights like on YouTube or anywhere you can go to watch the highlights. They are that good and they are that scary. That's the truth. That is the God's honest truth. They are that good. They are that scary. And I'll be honest with you, I would be saying the same damn thing about the Red Bulls' chances if they did advance into the semifinals. They really, really need to go out there, Vancouver, and do a job like they've never done before. They have to go and do a job like they've never done before and face a buzzsaw like Tigres. So that's all I can tell you guys. They are that good, and like I said already, they're scary, and they are that good. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see what the situations will be. And all you can say is that if you are going to expect a Tigres versus FC Dallas matchup, you know what? I would buy into that in a heartbeat. I would buy into that in a heartbeat. Definitely do it. Definitely. Because I'm telling you right now, telling you guys right now, this is probably the toughest club that we're going to see in these CONCACAF Champions League finals. And it doesn't matter who it is against. Doesn't matter. Because I think they're going to be tough enough. But like I said before, if it is FC Dallas, then we might get probably the best matchup the CONCACAF Champions League has ever had in its finals. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. We're going to have to wait and see what the situation will be. And it should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So let's get ready for something good here. And let's all hope that it's going to be one of the best matchups if possible. Joining me now, my good friend John Jagu, who covers Liga MX sides in the SoccerChronicles.com site, as well as the Cantina MX podcast. Hello, John. How are you? You're out of breath.
Sorry. I'm not going to lie. I was in the shower, so. I'm not going to tell you what the temperature was down here, and I'm not going to tell you that the pool was nice and the hot tub was nice. I won't get into any of that. We'll talk CONCACAF Champions League instead.
Just tell me you had a nice beer or a good drink on the poolside.
I actually had a couple of hurricanes.
That's my boy. John, let's go ahead and talk about Tigres. I know Vancouver made it kind of interesting, but, you know, Anousted is a quality keeper. But once again, when Tigres forces you into a position where you're putting one into your own net, and then, of course, they add that second one for good measure, I think we can all agree, while maybe it might be a little bit more difficult to go to Canada, but I still feel Tigres is going to get to the final.
I think so too, Dan. I think that this was, you know, the game where we both thought that that there was one team that was clearly better than the other, and you know, Tigres, you know, probably could have scored a few more. I know that Vancouver did their level best to maintain their defensive shape as long as they could. The goal, like you said, Usted made some great saves, but it was only a matter of time before Tigres was going to break through. You know, and that's the one thing that's different about Tigres than the other Liga MX squads, as far as, you know, who their coach is and when they play games like this, is that he's not going to get frustrated. He's going to be very patient. You know, Tuca, and he wants his team to maintain discipline and order. You know, he doesn't want them to, you know, push up unnecessarily and have them exposed to the counters. It's just not who they are. And I think that we'll see. Tigres, you know, maybe they're going to get their central defender Juninho back, I think, for the game on the 4th. So they'll be a little bit more shored up defensively. And, I mean, let's face it, I mean, they have, you know, outside of, I mean, I really can't think of any other team in, you know, at least in this part of the world that has the quality that they have up front with Gignac and Eduardo Vargas, the Chilean international, and with a guy like Jurgen Damm, who's just, you know, supplies just quality center after quality center. It's going to be a tall order for Vancouver to make it happen. Now, you know, crazy things have happened. If they get an early goal, then, you know, all bets are off. But I do think that Tigres absorb pressure and they counterattack better than any team in Liga MX. I mean, they really do have just a clinical counterattack. And then this is exactly when they use it, and they win ties. That this is how they got into the semifinals, was they knew that against Pumas was ended, that they knew Pumas had to attack. They caught him twice on the counter, and they scored, you know, two clinical counterattack goals. So I kind of expect to see that up in BC Place, which, by the way, is a fabulous stadium. In Vancouver is a great city. I got a chance to go there last year. It's my one big regret about the hexagonal that Canada didn't make it, so we could go to Vancouver one more time. Because it really is a great. It's a beautiful city. It's just gorgeous.
You know, I have been to Montreal. I have been to Quebec City. I've been to Toronto. I have also been to Calgary, Banff, Lake Louise, and Jasper in the Alberta province. I have not been to Vancouver, and I've heard the same things that, of course, you've been there. It's a very nice city. And amazingly enough, it does not get super cold during the winter. It averages, I guess, on Fahrenheit, 45, 50 degrees. So it's not that cold during hockey season. So I would love to get over there one day myself. I want to check it out, too.
No, I mean, I think you should. I got to go there last year when Mexico played Canada in the qualifiers. And, you know, like I said, it's, I mean, it really is just a tremendous place. I mean, it's a world-class city. And if I wasn't, if I didn't have a full-time gig, I would probably be making the effort to go up to cover the CONCACAF Champions League game between Tigres and Whitecaps. Because it's just a great place.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Before I move on to the next match, just out of curiosity, if you've heard this or not, when Eduardo Vargas in Chile put the 7-0 on Mexico in the Copa America Centenario, what happened when he got back playing for Tigres? I'm assuming someone must have let him have it or something, or joking with him.
Well, I don't think anyone. You know, these guys are professionals. They're not. I'm sure the fans may have, you know, may have said some things to him, but. You know, we call it the Red Wedding that day. But no, I mean, you know, I'm sure that they may have give him a little bit. But you know, that's not too bad. I mean, it reminds me of when Maxi Rodriguez was playing for, or he was signed by Atletico after the 2006 World Cup, and Javier Vasco Aguirre was the coach in Atletico at the time, and they asked Vasco about that. He said, well, he's gonna have to do some extra work. In the first couple, and of course he was kidding, of course. But that's what makes Tigres so scary. Is if they have those two guys, and then if they need to bring on another attacker, they can bring on Quiñones, or they can bring on Ismael Sosa, who's another tremendous player. They're loaded. They really are. They're loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
They're playing well. So I do think that they should move on comfortably into the finals.
Yeah. I agree with you. Oh, I agree with you there. I think they are going to make it to the final. Of course, it's what Vancouver needs to do is to find a way to throw a wrench into the works, but we'll see what happens. So what did you think about
FC Dallas? Well, if they get an early
FC
goal,
Dallas.
If they get that early
uh-huh.
goal, you know, it's going to give them a lot of confidence, and that's the one. If Tigres can survive the first 15 minutes, then I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But if Vancouver gets an early one, then, you know, it's going to get hairy.
Oh, I know. All bets are off. What do you think about Pachuca in this one against FC Dallas? I mean, I was shocked that Jara, not only did he just score, but he banked it off the inside the far post and went right into the net. He got it that early. And then what did you think? Pachuca they got the away goal, and then that's it? They just said, okay, FC Dallas, come at us.
I think that's pretty much exactly what happened. I think they wanted to get the goal. And, I mean, even the players said so after the game. They said that they didn't necessarily have – the intensity that they would normally have, you know, whether that's good or bad, I don't necessarily think that's ever a good strategy to play like that. But you know, it ended up,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe I'm not so sure if giving up the second goal was what they really wanted. But you know, FC Dallas, you know, playing in kind of a weird setup in their stadium because it's under construction right now, and it just.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, one day they should learn that if you're going to have half the stadium open, you open up the half that the TV side sees, so it looks a little better.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I mean, FC Dallas, you know, I know we had some folks from our podcast that went up and covered it, and they said that FC Dallas was uncharacteristically sloppy in the game. They didn't, you know, have the connections, and then they ended up getting the goals on a – you know, on a set piece and on a counter, which is, you know, typical of how MLS scores against Liga MX teams, and a very un-FC Dallas, like. Also,
mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. Now Pachuca was without Irving Lozano, who is injured, but he should be back for the second leg. And the second leg is at Pachuca, which means, you know, it's the altitude and the crowd and everything else, and obviously teams, Mexican teams play totally different at home than they do away, so. I know that FC Dallas has the advantage right now, but I think it would have to still give the edge to Pachuca, because if they get one or two early, then, you know, FC Dallas has to look out. And unfortunately for FC Dallas, I mean, they're still missing their their playmaker in Mauro Diaz, who's out with that torn Achilles. So they're really are going to, I think they might get a little overmatched in the midfield, and it's good. I mean, I like FC Dallas a lot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think the what they've been able to achieve in MLS, I think it's fantastic, and I think it is the blueprint for other teams to follow. I think that the designated player thing is a good way to maybe sell, you know, tickets for a few summer games, but you know, the long term is you have to build from within. That's what FC Dallas is doing, and I mean, I think that right now I'd look at it at maybe like a 60-40 Pachuca as a slight favorite. I don't necessarily count FC Dallas out at all. So it's gonna be very, very interesting, very exciting.
Oh, I agree with you, John. I think what we're seeing from Pareja, you know, getting these players locally, of course, from other places around CONCACAF, they're playing hard. They're playing strong. I mean, yeah, it's tough to see Mauro Diaz not out there because of the injury he suffered last year. But still, though, Kellen Acosta's free kick was just unbelievable. How he just...
Yeah, it was a terrific goal.
Awesome.
An absolutely terrific goal. And it was exactly what they needed. And, you know, definitely gave them some confidence in the second half of the game. And then they, you know, they absorbed the pressure. I just don't know if they're going to have the lungs to absorb the pressure the way they have to in Pachuca, because Pachuca is just as high as Mexico City. It's not maybe a little higher. So it is going to be a tall
mm-hmm.
order for them.
Yeah. I mean, you know as much as I do, you know, that altitude down there, it's going – and I know that's where Pachuca plays. The altitude is going to be tough for anyone visiting outside of Mexico to go over there. I mean, apparently – now, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently maybe – you know, they might get down there early enough to try to acclimate themselves. Do you think that's an advantage for Dallas?
You know, I mean, you'd have to get down there for like a week or so to do that. And FC Dallas, I know they're going to have that they've rearranged their schedule to give them that opportunity. But being in it and training in it and then playing in it are just two totally different things. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if they need to do whatever at all advantages they can get their hands on in order to make it happen for them. So if they think that it's going to give them an advantage, then by all means, do what you need to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, John. But I think we can already agree here. Tigres is going to the final. It all depends on what FC Dallas does down against Pachuca for them to give themselves a good chance to not only win on aggregate, but maybe win the match and find a way to get something done. But I will say this. I think these Champions League matches, or at least this tournament, has been a lot better maybe in past years. What would you say about that?
There's no question. It's you know, the tournament gets better year after year. And it's only going to be a matter of time before – now, I know that they're going to change it up next year, and they're going to give the MLS teams and Liga MX, so, you know, straight into the – the round of 16 is what they're going to do,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I could kind of sort of agree, but it just seems like that they give the you know, the teams with more clout, I guess, a little bit more of an advantage than they probably deserve. But
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that both clubs in MLS and in Liga MX and the league officials are trying to make it to where they they make it more equitable for everybody, and the reality is that we need the teams from the smaller countries to have more of a, you know, a little bit more skin in the game as far as, you know, getting to that round of 16. And I get that. I mean, there's no reason why a W Connection or, you know, one of the other Caribbean schools teams rather can make the knockouts, because, you know, most of the time they're just cannon fodder in the first round, and no one wants to watch, you know, a team get blown out 6-0, 8-0, or whatever it is when they play. So, and then have it, you know, happen repeatedly
mm-hmm.
in that first round. So maybe they can have a little bit more parity in that first round, and then bring the knockouts in, and you know, limit travel for some of the other teams, and hopefully make it a little bit more interesting. So we'll see how it plays out. But I do agree. I mean, it's a tournament that I think has helped the region, and will continue to help the region, and hopefully will. We'll, you know, we'll continue to see the fruits of that at the international level with how Costa Rica did the World Cup. Maybe we can see, you know, maybe a team like Panama qualify you know, give the Dutch a big scare or something like that. Or, you know, so if that happens, then I think that the Champions League has always been an unqualified success.
Yeah, I agree. And my argument is that while I understand kind of why they made the changes, I kind of feel like, you know, getting rid of the group stage, I don't know. I just find that to be a little redundant, I guess, because then we're back to where – and I know we're not really back to where it was, just the championship. Okay, these are the sides that qualify, go to the quarters, semis, and finals, and that's it. I just feel there should be a group stage. But then again, you know, maybe you should have made it –
Well, there is going to be a group stage. It's just going to be a group stage for teams that, frankly, have no realistic shot of making it to the – you know,
yeah,
making it past the quarterfinals. So, but you know,
okay,
but that's how you grow the tournament is to give those teams the exposure. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Panama would have never gotten to where they are now if they wouldn't have played these teams and goes, hey, we're actually, you know, our levels is not as bad or as low as we thought. We actually can play with these guys, and you know, they proved it. It was unfortunate that Adam Onivo in the game against FC Dallas are tied. That, you know, they lost half their, you know, all their good players. You know,
yeah,
in the winter signing period. I mean, it was a completely different team than the one that just shellacked Monterey and made it to the knockout. So it just, you know, that was the unfortunate part of the turn. And that happens, you know, with other teams too. It's just the really successful teams, you know, you're successful for a reason. You have good players, and then, you know, the bigger clubs are going to want to come snatch your guys up.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. That always happens. You know more about that, and as I know about that, because of what goes on in between the league seasons. So we'll see what happens. But, John, listen, thank you very much. I promise I will not call you when you're taking a shower. I promise.
That's all right. It's okay. It was. I'm glad I was able to hustle and get to the phone. But always a pleasure, Daniel. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. And save me a hurricane the next time I come over.
Sure, of course.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. John Jagoose, SoccerChronicles.com, as well as the Cantina MX podcast. Does a great job with it. I called into it. Great job he does with it on the Liga MX sides and the national team. He does a fantastic job with it. Here is the schedule now for the second leg. You can watch it either Univision Deportes or English Language, Facebook Live, everything else going on with it. So here is the schedule for the semifinals, second leg. Tuesday night, April 4th. At the Estadio Hidalgo, Pachuca will host FC Dallas, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. And the Vancouver Whitecaps will host Tigres at BC Place, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Should be exciting. It should be a lot of fun. And hopefully we will have some more fun in these Champions League semifinals. I want to thank my guests tonight. As always, John Jagu. And, of course, Mr. Ben Lyon of Big D Soccer. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. As always, please enjoy your football. Real quickly, this coming Monday night, March 20th, the USL season preview show. On Tuesday night, March 21st, the NASL preview show, as both leagues will begin their seasons weekend. And then Friday night, at 12:30 in the morning, the USA Honduras World Cup qualifier postgame show. We might have a pregame show. I'll let everyone know what's going to happen then. But thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, folks, please enjoy your football. Thank you. You have a good night now. Take care and talk to you later. Bye-bye for now.